So what are some of the major issues facing the communities that you organize within?
Okay, I'll start this time. Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, shoo. Well, like Maya was saying, the red tape is so thick you could drown in it. It's ridiculous. That's probably one of the biggest issues around organizing, is getting in touch with everyone to organize them. The separatism, even amongst not-for-profit organizations. We were talking about this earlier. Within the city, a big issue was this one's here and this one's there and this one's there, and we all have the same goal, which is to get the city back up and running, but with all of the separatism in place, it's just easier for the government to deny, basically. The lack of sustainability, especially for people doing the organizing work, and that's going to come up later on in the discussion when we discuss some of the gender issues around that, and it's mostly about money. Huge issue, even with our own New Orleanians, has been the media portrayal of the event itself and post-Katrina. The villainizing of the individuals, the thievery, the this, that, or the other, the rape. This has made it very difficult to even mention the word Katrina in a public setting and have everyone not cringe. And that's largely due to the media portrayal, the poor media coverage. And if you turn on your tube now, I mean, this issue is still happening. There are still hundreds of thousands of people suffering and feeling the ripple a year and a half after, and we're following the death of a woman and her baby, you know, and who's going to get the money? So the aftershock. No one has truly covered the aftershock. It's been a huge problem with organizing. Within my community itself, the 2,000 people in the Bay Area, we still don't have a list of those people. We put up posters and go to other events that other churches are doing, you know, like Catholic Charities is giving a candlelight vigil, you know, for the people who had passed, and you meet other evacuees there, and we exchange numbers. But it's pretty much word of mouth. And few people will come to those events because they're not looking for consolation from a priest right now, to be honest. They're looking for the basic three: the home, shelter, food, clothing thing, you know. So people, evacuees are rarely coming out to those events held by, it's like 1, 2, 5, 10 maybe. So it's really been the separatism and getting together that's halted the organizing.
So I kind of like to think of what happened with Katrina and what's going on with the land grab in New Orleans proper as, and issues of displacement in general, are basically an overall, it's a microcosm of the overall state of America today, right? Like, you go into every inner city community and they're suffering the same way. Like, I go to Detroit and they're having the same problems that we're having, and they didn't have a natural disaster, right? The problems are housing. We're losing affordable housing. We've lost affordable housing. Policing, over-policing of everyone. We have in New Orleans 4 different levels of law enforcement. We have, like, the city and the county and then the federal and then the National Guard. And it's like, we're policed up, you know, and it doesn't make us any safer. We still have a huge crime rate or whatever. And we can't get public education. 300 students tried to enroll into school and couldn't get in. We're being denied access to health care. And so basically, this is going on in every city. And this is just the state of America today. Workers' rights are being stepped on all over the place. And it's just, the breakdown of our communities is huge. And there are all of these different forces enacting on that breakdown, and it has broken down, and this is where we are. So it's basically, what are the issues facing it? It's, we're being stomped is what the issue is. And so, like I'm saying, it's like we're trying to rebuild at a time where no one really wants us to rebuild, and it is a land grab, and there is a plan at work in terms of, like, what they want to happen in terms of, like, property and who they're going to let live on that property and be back in the city. So
And if I may add something, especially with all the police, because that was a huge thing. They brought police and enforcement in, they brought police and enforcement into the city before they started bringing other resources to actually sustain life. That doesn't promote safety or even a code of conduct or behavior in an individual. That says to the individual, you might be a threat, somebody somewhere. And so that image or that information is transmitted that way by bringing all these police in.
Also, I think a big point is we as displaced people in America as a result to a disaster, I personally wanted desperately to return to the city. I had work in the city. I had nowhere to live. And I, as a few of us that were lucky enough to be able to have a hotel in the city and stay for a while and help work, that was taken away. And there was nothing put in place of it. We basically, one day, it was about a 2-month period of this is going to be the last day that FEMA will pay for your hotel. I don't know if anybody's been in that situation, but not knowing where you're going to sleep leaves you in a very confused, clouded state of mind. I do believe that it was purposeful. I don't think it was an accident because of the land grabbing and all the other factors that are in play. There was no incentive to return home. There still isn't. Our hearts are home, but there's no incentive there. And what we have to do is create incentives to return home and a way to return home.
Do you want to talk about some of the issues facing the survivors in New York that you work with?
Same issues I would imagine that are facing any other displaced people anywhere you went, basically. At first, the feeling was welcoming. We're going to help. We're going to do, you know, there's going to be housing. That's not a question. People in the media made their attempts for whatever their agenda was to make it look good, like, you know, we've got these survivors here and we're going to help them. And when the cameras stopped rolling, that's when the help stopped, basically. So the same issues that were precedent at the start are still current issues. People, you know, you have a network in your home city that provides you with information, work, etc. When you move to another place involuntarily, you don't have that network. Myself, it took me about 8 months to find somewhat stable work. Still nothing in comparison to what I'm used to doing. And so it becomes a constant struggle. And your sanity is at risk, always. Keeping your head clear is very important just to be able to function. Because there was never a time of grief. There was never a time where we had to actually cry over our city. We basically just kept running, kept going. And all of a sudden, it was a year had passed, and we were still moving, and we were still trying to find housing, and we were still trying to just live. And those things were interrupted greatly. So life has not returned to normal. There's no sense of normalcy still. I think that helps to aid us in doing more work that way. Because we're not okay still.